A cool thing for you, okay? Now this message came about at 6:15 this morning. So needless to say, I am not teaching on the ABCs of Joseph, which now I'm planning on teaching on next week until the Lord changes that. But in fact, I'm actually doing a message in a non-traditional format of a traditional format, which is my easy way of saying that I've only done traditional style messages four times, two Christmases, two Easters. This is actually going to be a message on Thanksgiving, which having Thanksgiving come up for me is a real tradition breaker because I'm doing something traditional. Did you follow that? If you can follow that, you'll follow the rest of this message. If not, it could be a long morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 12. Oh, do we need a title? We're going to call this The Thanksgiving Dynamic. The Thanksgiving Dynamic. And before we get to this, there is a few points in this message. And some of them will be pretty blasé for most of you. I've heard that and I've heard that and there's nothing new there. But there is this one little portion in there that's different. That's actually what the Lord woke me up with. And I have a feeling that if it is applied, genuinely applied, then it'll be a Thanksgiving message like no other Thanksgiving message you've heard for you. Because there's a personal application right in the middle. I don't know if you find it. Maybe the Lord will speak to you before. Maybe he'll speak to you after. Maybe he won't speak to you. Maybe you're already tuned out. I don't know. But I know that I'm going to give you what the Lord gave me, because as much as I like many of you and love many of you, I'm going to do this one because he wants me to and for no other reason. So this one's going to be all for the author, none for the audience. But in it, the audience will receive from the author. So let's pray. Father, we just ask you to bless this word and take it from my mouth and my mind and my heart and my spirit, and you would transform it in the air into people's hearts and minds and lives so as to make a difference for them and for me. I don't preach to them. I preach to them and to me. Together we explore your word. Let your word have the impact that we know it can have. Your word can bring healing, redemption, salvation, life from the dead. Let that be so in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 12. Well, I'm going to definitely need my glasses. Matthew chapter 12. Oh, again, the title is The Thanksgiving Dynamic, because I didn't really want to call it Thanksgiving 2007. I don't know. Just something not that great about that. Matthew chapter 12. I'm going to start with some very tough words from Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. We're actually going to go to verse 35. And verse 35 says this, Matthew chapter 12, verse 35. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. That's not your typical opening verse for Thanksgiving message, is it? Nope, it isn't. Here's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you know what? There is such a correlation for mankind and the words that they speak that he says straight out, by your words, you're going to be justified. By your words, you're going to be condemned, thereby dropping into everybody's lap the power of words and how we quickly and frivolously toss them around without much thought, even though Proverbs 18:21 says death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, what does that death and life is in the power of the tongue mean? Well, there was a very famous minister who tells this story in a loving manner. I'm not going to share his name, but he preached a message and thousands of people were moved. Tears. They were just, you know, wow, really powerful. So he gets home and he talks to his wife and says to his wife, what'd you think? And she said, eh. And his spirit deflated because he really put his all into it and he thought it was good. And the wife came in and goes, And there wasn't a lot of life in what she spoke. And as sad as that is, it's like one person's word that doesn't speak life to another quickly can change a person's disposition or attitude. Have you ever noticed that when somebody says something to you that is uplifting and complimentary, how your spirit receives it, how you as a person, like, well, you know, when I talk to my wife, I try to remind her that she's beautiful on a regular basis. I hope she hears it. It doesn't just process like we're just saying that kind of thing, because I want her to hear it, because I want that to penetrate into her being so she can live that and feel that and walk that. Consequently, when we say things that are negative, it has a real impact on people. Now, I'm not talking about when you're talking about people behind their backs, which, of course, nobody in Christianity ever does. I'm not talking about those instances. I'm talking about the instances where you're talking to somebody and you say something and you can almost see them light up based on what you say. It happens to kids all the time. Your child comes home and they have a bad experience at school and you say, you know what? I'm proud of you. I love you. When Joshua was trying to figure out, you know, the Lord and his decision for the Lord, and he was doing pretty good and had good training, he made a decision to follow the Lord. Then he made a decision that he wanted to really commit to devotions. I told him I was proud of him for that. That's his own decision. He has to make that call. Nobody can choose that. You know, I was listening to something the other day, and this is one of the most bizarre statements. You're never going to hear a more bizarre statement. I hope this gets on the radio. You know, you can be born and raised Jewish. You can be born and raised Italian. You can be born and raised in many different things, but you can't be born a Christian. Can't do it. Because you have to make a decision for Jesus Christ. There's no being born a Christian. That doesn't work. That's a lie. You have to make a choice, an individual choice. Your 15 generations of your family could be Christians. When you're born, that does not make you a Christian. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's when you become a Christian. You understand that difference? It was just something that dawned on me. Like, you know, people don't talk that way. Well, he was born in a Christian family. That doesn't mean he's a Christian. Plenty of murderers came out of Christian families. That doesn't mean a thing. That's nothing. But anyway, going back to it, I had to share that because that thought that just really struck me as odd. But the power of our words is so noticeable. And Jesus says, hey, you know, I got one for you. By your words, you're going to be justified. And by your words, you're going to be condemned. So my question to pose is why? That's so forceful and brutal. And the answer is in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew, you guys like that one, huh? Like that. I can tell below. I like that. Matthew chapter 15. Here's the reason. Verse 18. Matthew 15, 18 says this. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And the reason that Jesus said, by your words you will be justified and by your words you'll be condemned, is because your words reveal what's in your heart. And you will know, you can listen to other people and know by their speech. And I'm not even talking about coarse language. I'm not talking about swearing. I'm not even talking about any of that. I'm not even necessarily talking about negative speech. I'm talking about you will know a person's heart by what they say. Now, maybe they grew up in a gutter and have a lot of filthy language. Fine, but that doesn't dictate their heart if that was their growing up pattern. You'll know what's in your heart by listening to what they're communicating. Your words, my words, communicate. When I get up here on Sunday and I share with you, you're hearing my heart. And a lot of times you're hearing that as much as I can, as sinful as I am, as fleshly as I am, there's a lot of it that's for God and for a relationship with God. You're hearing that every time you listen to me speak. And for a lot of you, it's very effective and it's very powerful. Why I'm saying all that, of course, is to lay the foundation for Thanksgiving. Well, what are you talking about? Well, because of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Are you guys with me? Are you following this so far? I know you guys miss Wednesdays, but this will help you get through to the next little phase, I hope. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Our words will justify us or condemn us. And we understand our words will justify us and condemn us because they reveal our hearts. So therefore, in conclusion, that our words justify us or condemn us because they reveal our hearts, we need to remember and operate and function in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, which says this. And actually, you can even look at verse 19. Speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5:19. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because you know that by your words you're justified and condemned, because you know they reveal your heart, you ought to make sure that you follow the scriptures that Paul commands us to follow, and you ought to be being thankful in everything. You ought to be being thankful in everything. And if you are thankful in everything, that will be a part of your verbalization or your speech, and that will be a revelation as to what's in your heart. Are you a thankful Christian for everything? And you say, well, Dave, I'm thankful that he saved me, but I'm going through this trial and I don't like it. I'm not so thankful for the trial. And I say, I understand. I understand that. Again, not a new revelation coming right here. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 tells you the ticket, the method, the system by which you can be thankful in everything. Dave, are you going to mean I should be thankful in a divorce proceeding? I should be thankful that my brother is a drug addict? I should be thankful that I'm going bankrupt? I should be thankful that these terrible things are happening? Or that I should be thankful that I can't sleep? No, I think you should read Romans 8:28 with me and respond to this. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him. So I think the answer is, can you be thankful in all those things? Yes. For going through a divorce? No. But that God is going to work into your lives good things through this process? Absolutely. If you don't believe that God is going to work things that are good into your lives in your trial, you don't believe anything He says. Because one of the greatest premises that Jesus laid down is, and I caught this just earlier this week, let not your hearts be troubled. There will be trouble in the world. I've overcome the world. It's like, but Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Well, as though we had a choice. We do. We do. And we should be thankful in all of it while we're going through for the actual drug addiction. No, but that God's not going to give up on the person. He's going to work good out of it. And you think, well, that just sounds like it's a little bit, it's kind of like Calvinistic. It's like, oh, come on, Calvinistic, Wesleyan, Bahu. Just read the book, for crying out loud. It says He's going to make all things work together for good. Now, while it's working it certainly doesn't feel good, but it's going to get there. So what, you can't be thanking God ahead of time? We hardly thank Him when things are great. Maybe we should just learn to thank Him all the time. Hey, maybe that's what that in everything thing meant. Wow, this is amazing. It's like Scripture comes together. It's like in everything. But Dave, I know it's terrible. You don't think I have terrible things happen to me? Sure they do. Do I always thank God for it? No. Does He rebuke me because of that? You bet. So you get to share it too. Because I should have a right attitude. What's the saying? The attitude of gratitude. Hey, you're breathing. And if the person's dead, hey, God, let them exist. It's like you can't escape this. There's no way. And do you know what tomorrow brings? Nope. You just got to know who brings tomorrow. You don't got to know what it brings. You just got to know who He is. And what we should really be aware of is when we're not doing that, what happens when you're not being thankful? What happens in your life when you're not thankful? Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. Malachi, by the way, is the last book in the Old Testament. Just to help you out, because I don't want you taking an hour to get to Malachi, because I got to get to my main point. Malachi chapter 2. Malachi chapter 2. Are everybody together on this now? You're following the sequence of teaching. Everybody understands where I'm going, right? Some of you squirming in your chairs or what? Malachi chapter 2, verse 17. And this is what it says. And this is what we don't want. Listen to this line. This is a line. You should underline this line. Malachi 2, 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. How would you like to hear God come down with a little envelope to you and go, hey, you know, I'm really getting tired of you speaking. Wow, that would be awful. You have wearied me with your words. It reminds you of the children of Israel. And they're in the desert and God delivers them and it's like, oh, we don't got any of this. And God goes, okay, here's this. And they go, well, now we want this. And God goes, all right, here's this. And then, well, now we want this. And now God's irritated. So now the ends of the camp start burning. So 14,700 dead people later, Israel starts to get a clue. Ooh, maybe we shouldn't be whining, agonizing, and complaining like little babies. So they wait a whole another two chapters to do it again. God bless them. And then they do it again. And then God starts to wipe them out again and say, listen, God is very patient, but the illustration of the Old Testament is for our benefit. Here's a big one to take with you all day long. God doesn't like complaining. There's an old joke, old preacher's joke, about how the people that complain the most will live the longest, so God can give it to them. Because it's like you keep complaining because they don't like it, and they don't like it. Oh, I'll just let you keep living just so you can complain into your life, just your whole existence. And it's like, the idea is to not be complainers, but to be people of thanksgiving, to be people of appreciation, to have an attitude of gratitude. You know what? It ain't perfect. You're right. You know what? It is hard. You know what? Sometimes it does. It is. It's like that. Come on. But blaming God that the earth is filled with sin is really a joke. We did this. And the fact that he's willing to redeem us is just his love and his grace. So let's get to the heart of it. So I want you to keep that in mind. You don't want to be wearying the Lord with your words. So I'm going to teach you what I call the dynamic of the life of continual thanksgiving. Here it is. Revelation chapter 4. Probably never thought you were going there for this one. Revelation chapter 4. And then we only have two more verses and we're done. Revelation chapter 4. And I am not telling you this to irritate you or to discourage you or to frustrate you. I am trying to make it so that between you and God, there's less of a line of pollution. You want to be green, let your speech be green. Let's start there. Because the speech cannot be polluting the ears of the Lord. He don't want to hear it. What he wants to do, if you can't say anything nice, remember that expression, can't say anything nice, don't say anything? That's a good one. It's not in the book, but it's a good one. If you can't say anything nice, shut up. Right? Just be quiet. Who are you going to help otherwise? So here he goes, and here it is. This is the dynamic of thanksgiving. I'm going to give you the ultimate dynamic for a person who has a life that is continually filled with thanksgiving. You won't believe the connection we're going to make here. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Forgive me, Lord, that's just me. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And you're thinking, that's a great verse, Dave. What does that got to do with Thanksgiving? Right? Because that doesn't have any application except for God is pictured here as always was, always is, and always will be. And a person who is walking in the dynamic of continually giving thanks is looking at their past with thanksgiving, is looking at their present with thanksgiving, and is looking at their future with thanksgiving, because God has operated in the past, the present, and the future, and you have a past, a present, and a future. And when you look at your past and you operate with thanksgiving, and you look at your present and you operate with thanksgiving, and you look at your future and you operate with thanksgiving, you're operating in those principles with God. And if you look at your past with thanksgiving, guess what you won't have bitterness. And if you look at your present with thanksgiving, guess what you're going to have? A trusting and a confidence. And if you look to your future with thanksgiving, guess what you're going to have? A hope for a better tomorrow. All these principles operate if you will continually walk in thanksgiving on every aspect and element of your life. You won't be bitter. You'll be trusting God and walking in confidence. You'll be looking for a better tomorrow. You'll be operating in the principle of faith. You'll be honoring God, and you'll be setting yourself free in your partnership with God from all the crap that holds you. How can that be bad? How can that be bad? It blow my mind. You shouldn't say crap, Dave. Oh, shut up and read the book, for crying out loud. We should be thanking God for, oh, but this terrible thing happened. But look how God brought you through it. This terrible thing is happening, but look how God is bringing you through it. Hey, when they start shooting Christians, look how God took you out and brought you to Him. I mean, it's like it's all together. You can't escape this. If you look at your life with the continual feast of Thanksgiving, you'll have a continual feast. You know, we celebrate Thanksgiving by doing what? We eat, right? And a lot. And it's, what is it? What is it telling you? It's the one day, well, Christmas is in there too, but it's the one day you're not supposed to feel guilty. You're supposed to eat so much that you can't move, and then you make sure that you have bread left over and mayonnaise so you can have a turkey sandwich. It's the one day of the year you are supposed to say, all guilt must be suspended on the planet for Americans during this day. So it's the one guilt-free day, and Thanksgiving is something that will alleviate all of it. And if you do it spiritually, it's perfect. You're free from the guilt. You're just living. You're thankful. You're appreciative. You're not condemning yourself or others. It's great. Life's great. Why? Because I'm thankful for what He's done. Are you thankful for what He's done? Are you thankful for what He's doing? How easy is it then just to be thankful for what He's going to do? Like, all right, Lord, You are right on. You rock. I mean, God's a stud. That's how it goes. Here's the key, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. Don't you love that? I love that. And I woke up in my mind, I'm like, wow, I got to use this stuff. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Almost done. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. You guys know this. This isn't new, but it's important to understand it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I've said this a couple times, but this is one of those classics. This is the answer for everything. You think, what? This is the answer for everything. What? 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Look at 5:16 first. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Here, I want to find the will of God. Well, say thank you in everything you're going through, and you're in the will of God. Again, how much more specific could you get than this verse? See, say thanks for everything, and you'll be in the will of God. But all I want to do is what the Lord wants. Hey, I got one for you. It's right here in print. Be thankful in everything. Not in some things, in all of it. Be thankful. This is your answer. I want to do what God wants. Here it is. And it's right in line with Thanksgiving. It's like, be thankful for it all. God will take you through it. And say, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's like so specific. But Deb, I just want to, you know, I want to put my hands to exactly what God wants me to put my hands to so I can fulfill my purpose for being created. Well, this one tells you straight out how to start. In everything, be thankful. Then you're in the will of God. And then when you're doing that one, okie dokie, maybe He reveals something else to you. But it certainly starts here. Doesn't it? Every person you come across, well, I just want to do what the Lord wants you to do. Well, I can tell you what that is. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. For everybody. Standard answer. No escaping it. So let's close with this because it's a great passage. It's the bottom line passage. I always have a bottom line passage. This is it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, it's nice to hear that you guys miss the Bible studies because it just means that they're effective. It is. Sometimes you do Bible studies, it's just like snooze and ram. I'm glad that you guys like them. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Probably marked in most of your Bibles already. And it doesn't read this way. Well, lots of grumbling and complaining should take place because the Lord never leads you in anything good. Huh? That's how many Christians live this passage, But that is not what the passage says. Verse 14, but thanks. The attitude of gratitude. Thank you. Thankfulness. Thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession. You know, a procession, it's a line of people that are walking out. Triumphal procession is the winning line. God always leads you to the winning line. Right down the middle of the street, so to speak. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. A reference that David made earlier when we were in prayer as a group. Spreading the fragrance of the knowledge of Jesus. But thanks be unto God who always leads us into triumph. Does triumph happen every moment of every day? No, you have to be led there. It's a process to get there, but can't you be saying thank you as you're on the way? Sure you can, because you can trust the faithfulness of God. I say, well, but it didn't come out the way I wanted. Well, maybe your way wasn't a good way. Maybe God's smarter than you. Okay, God is smarter than you. It's just that simple. I mean, just leave it there. For the past, the present, and the future, be thankful. Otherwise, be bitter and angry and not confident and fearful. Or be thankful and have none of those things. Whatever you want. But don't weary the Lord with your word. I do it all the time. It's in my blood. I think the Lord doesn't like that. Like, you know, watch football. I mean, I almost think He wants me to say that versus speaking sometimes. It's like, oh, okay. Let's be thankful for all of it. Why? Because He tells us to. Because He deserves it. Because it's better for us. That's all. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You. Not a lot of complexity, Lord, in what this is. We need to be thankful. We need to be thankful now. We need to be thankful always. We need to be thanking You for the past and how You've worked us to certain points. We need to be thankful for what we're going through. Thankful for what we're going to get through. You're a great deliverer. You're a great redeemer. You're a merciful God. And we should be a people who have an attitude of gratitude. We are sorry that we have wearied You with our words. Right now, for everybody who's in agreement with that, we just lift up our hearts to You. We lift up our hearts and our hands to You and just say, forgive us. Forgive us, Lord, for wearying You with our words. We are sorry. And we will work with Your help, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to do better, to be thankful. We're not going to do perfect, and we're not going to let the enemy use it as something else to beat us up with. Help us to improve piece by piece. But help us to see the past, the present, and the future with thankfulness. That way, this Thanksgiving, when we're enjoying it and having the no guilt, maybe we can have a few more days that go throughout the year just like that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okie dokie.